Here we go again on a Monday. This is exciting. Our little appointment in God's Word as we move coast to coast on the radio broadcast and all around the world on the internet podcast. Wherever you are listening to God Is Today, I welcome you. And as you know, if you've been with us, we're preparing for Resurrection Sunday coming up April 21st by reading in the Gospel of Matthew about the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ. His human life lived for us reflects a journey in which he was fiercely humiliated. And thus far, we have seen that in the response of Caiaphas, the Jewish high priest. I call Caiaphas the Christ killer. And then at the end of last week, we met Judas Iscariot, Christ's betrayer. We only spoke of him briefly, and I introduced him to you in the text thus far, only as a way to contrast his response to Jesus with that of Mary of Bethany, who absolutely loved Jesus. I said Mary is the rose between the two thorns of Caiaphas and Judas to Jesus Christ. The contrast between Mary and Judas is bold and obvious when you read John's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. And so while we also have the same scene painted for us by Matthew, we found that John gives us some added detail in his masterpiece that helps us get to know Mary better. And so as we get started, let me reread for you John 12, verses 1 through 8, and then I want to point out more contrast between Mary and Judas. And then as we move on through this week, I have more to say about Judas, so we will talk more about his life as we continue to sort of toggle back and forth between him and Mary of Bethany. Okay? Does that sound like a plan? If you have your Bible there, follow along at John 12, beginning at verse 1. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Mary was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, was intending to betray Jesus, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to poor people?" Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. Therefore Jesus said, "Let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." As we think about contrasting Mary and Judas, here's a good way to remember the difference between the two. Mary was a true friend of Christ, but Judas was a true enemy. I'll repeat that. Mary was a true friend of Christ, but Judas was a true enemy of Christ. I want you to listen again to John 12, verse 3. Then Mary took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. There is the love act of one who is a true friend of Jesus. But then hear again the words of Judas in the very next verses, verses 4 and 5. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples who was intending to betray Jesus, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to poor people?" That is the voice of the true enemy of Christ. And Pastor A.W. Pink points out that this reminds us of Psalm 23 in verse 5. Psalm 23 in verse 5 says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil." How insightful of Pastor Pink. This is what Mary does. She anoints the head of Christ with the oil of the perfume of pure nard. And she does so at the table in Simon's house in the presence of the enemy of Christ, that is Judas Iscariot. What a contrast. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. Pink continues with other contrasts to support my point. Mary was a true friend of Christ, but Judas was a true enemy. Again, these contrasts were brought to my attention in the writing of A.W. Pink, but I want to lift them out of the Bible for you. And the first is this. Mary gave generously to Jesus what was worth at least 300 denarii, but Jesus sold Christ to the chief priests for only 30 pieces of silver. Wow. We We read that over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, verses 14 through 16. This is Matthew 26, verses 14 through 16. Then one of the 12, named Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me to betray him to you?" And they weighed out 30 pieces of silver to Judas. From then on, he began looking for a good opportunity to betray Jesus. Second, Mary showed her love for Jesus in Simon the ex-leper's house, whereas Judas was the son of a man named Simon. Third, Mary had a vial of perfume, whereas Judas had the money box. Let me read John chapter 12 and verse 6 for you. Judas had the money box. Fourth, Mary brought all the attention on Christ, whereas Judas attempted to turn everyone's attention away from Christ and to the poor. Fifth, and here I'll quote A.W. Pink, at the very moment Satan was goading on the heart of Judas to do the worst against Christ, the Holy Spirit mightily moved the heart of Mary to pour out her love for him. And then sixth, quoting again, Mary's devotion has given her a place in the hearts of all who have received the gospel. Judas, by his act of perfidy, went to his own place, the pit. As we will see when we talk more about Judas, he chose against Christ and therefore for eternal damnation. One other pastor theologian, Charles Spurgeon, used this helpful analogy to highlight the difference between Mary and Judas. He compared Judas to an artificial flower, but Mary to the real one. He said, quote, "Artificial flowers may be made so exactly like the real plants that you could scarcely detect them. But real love for Christ, real, true, heartfelt, deep, where there is strong, all-absorbing love to Christ, the sweet perfume of divine grace will be," end quote. Indeed, it may appear from the outside looking in, or even to the exact people inside this story that evening, that both Mary and Judas were true followers of Christ, but the reality is that Judas is the fake, he's artificial, whereas Mary is the genuine rose that flowers bright and beautiful as she pours out her sweet-smelling perfume all over the Christ. And so here enter the sharp contrast between Mary's friendship expressing itself in love for her Savior and Judas, the enemy, expressing himself in wanting to withdraw Mary's gift for the Savior. Mary was a true friend of Christ, but Judas was a true enemy. And you can keep this in mind as we proceed. And as we proceed, we come now down in John chapter 12 to verse 7. There's one part of the verse, the second half, that I want to comment on now. John 12, verse 7 reads, quoting Jesus, "Let her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial." Highlight, if you can, this part, "she may keep it for the day of my burial." What does Jesus mean by this? It seems to us a strange sort of statement. And we should note that it is also said in both Matthew and Mark's account. This is Matthew chapter 26 and verse 12. "For when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial." And in Mark's Gospel chapter 14 and verse 8, Jesus says, "She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial." This begs the question, did Mary know Jesus was soon going to die? The fact that it constantly escaped the attention of the other disciples, even though they had been told about it, did Mary get it? Probably not. I like how A.B. Bruce puts it in his first-rate book, The Training of the Twelve, which I will use more of soon. He writes, quote, "She does not know that Jesus is about to die, but she acts as if she did. The instincts of love." I agree, Mary definitely had that instinct of love for Jesus, but whether she knew that the time of his death by crucifixion was near or not, by constantly sitting at Jesus' feet, as we have seen, by learning of him, by paying close attention to the details of his teaching, to his words about himself and of God, Mary had a much stronger, intuitive understanding that now, not later, was the time to pour out her love for Jesus. She wanted to break the alabaster vial of perfume and pour it on him now. because she loved him. And what Jesus does with this statement is to draw our attention to her act, pouring out the perfume, as a way to make sense of his death on the cross. He interprets her act in light of his impending death. Remember, as they meet around this table, it's the start of the final week of Christ's human life. Jesus will be dead within only a matter of days. And when you come back tomorrow, I'm going to use the penetrating work of A.B. Bruce's The Training of the Twelve to show you what Jesus means by what he says, because I think Bruce understands this and articulates what he sees better than anyone else I have read. This is just too good to pass up. But as we end today, I want to challenge you with a question. What is your love for Jesus like? Are you an artificial, a fake flower? Or are you the genuine, the real flower to Christ? Do you have this instinct for love? Give some critical thought to this. Maybe you will say, I am both. On good days, I express a sincere love for Jesus, but on bad days, it's like I hardly know him at all. That's being honest, and an honest answer is what I'm asking you to give. If you assess an inconsistency in your love for Christ, or you come to conclude that you actually do not have any real love for him, you even go to church, or you think of yourself as a Christian, but you're artificial, then I invite you to go to Jesus today and ask his forgiveness and invite him to animate your soul with adoration for him. Pray, Lord, make me more like Mary, and please take away my Judas attitude. Go to the Lord today in a prayer of sincerity from your heart. I promise you, based on the authority of the Bible, if you'll pray this sincere prayer to Jesus now, he will change you. So do so, and then join me again tomorrow, for God is.